Malachi. We're going to get into some stuff here tonight. Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. My goodness. Are you ready? It starts out kind of with a bang. Starts out kind of just... It kind of starts out with
why don't we just start with 8?
Because I don't have 8 down. I'll do the Bible study.
Read number 8.
Don't read number 8.
Oh, sure. Why don't you read number 8? I'm not running this Bible study anyway, so go ahead.
No, you're really not. Okay.
And you got your haircut.
Huh? Did you just realize?
Honest to Pete. Go, baby.
Okay.
Nice.
I did it 2 weeks ago.
Okay, hey.
I'm sorry. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. That's it.
Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Woo! Man, oh man. That is a mouthful, isn't it? See, Malachi here is urging the people to stop holding back their tithe and it literally to stop cheating God. So, again, as refresher from last week, the tithing system began during the time of Moses. You can go back to Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 34, and it'll talk about it. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22 and read about it. But the Levites received some of the tithe because they could not possess land of their own. And during Malachi's day, the people were not giving tithes, so the Levites went to work to earn a living, thereby neglecting their God-given responsibility to care for the temple and for the service of worship. Can I just tell you that as I was putting this together and studying for this, I thought about that a lot. Kind of got hung up there for a few minutes. And the Lord, I hope that it was the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, said to me, what could you be doing for the church if you weren't driving log truck for 12 or 14 hours a day? And I tried to just skip on over that. During Malachi's day, the people were not giving tithes, so the Levites, who were the priests, went to work to earn a living, thereby neglecting their God-given responsibility to care for the temple and for the service of worship. Everything that we have to understand, is from God. Everything you have is from God. No, I went to the bank and I bought money and I bought it myself. I don't care what you did. It's good. You got it from God. He's blessing you. Everything that we have is from God. And so when we refuse to return to Him a part of what He has given, we rob Him. Your ability to do your job, whatever it is, whether you're a housewife, whether you're a bookkeeper, whether you're a logger, a mill worker, a bum,
a hard job,
or retired. Where does retired fit?
It doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't.
Kind of a bum. No,
Listen, all your abilities have come from God. Mm-hmm. He wired you. He endued you with abilities and qualities to do what you do. The people of Malachi's day ignored God's command to give a tithe of their income to the temple, and they might have feared losing what they had worked so hard to get, but in this they misjudged God. As a pastor, I've heard through my years of pastoral ministry so many times that people will come and say, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money to give to God and give to the church. And my immediate response is, you ain't got enough money not to. Mm-hmm. Because one thing that I've learned through my years in ministry and my years of just being a believer is that you can live a whole lot better on 90% of blessed money than you can 100% of cursed money. Now that's just the truth. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, so many of you can just quote this verbatim, but let me just read it to you tonight. It says, give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Mm-hmm. Now we automatically tie this verse of Scripture to finance. But it's not only talking about finance. If you read the verses before and bring this through in the context of all the verses that it's talking about there, it's talking about judge not lest you be judged and all these other kinds of things. So it's talking about holding grudges. It's talking about forgiveness. It's talking about all those kinds of things that it is talking about to give forgiveness. And it will come back to you pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's talking about goodness and mercy and kindness and those kinds of things. Those things will return to you. See, generosity in giving, both of material goods as well as love, compassion, and forgiveness for others will result in return to generosity. So you see, it's important that we don't just attach the financial value to a verse like this. That's why I always say, bring it into context. Read before and read after to see what they're talking about. Because you can just pick out verses and pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And you can end up killing yourself.
Mm-hmm. The devil did that.
So we have to be careful. See, Jesus wants us as His disciples to be merciful and loving, not selfish and spiteful. He does away with retaliation and the concept of demanding an eye for an eye recompense for wrongdoing. See, the picture is of blessing being returned in a bushel basket, filled to the brim, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and then running over. I'm reminded of this when I run out of coffee in my coffee container thing. No, but pre-thermos. The little canister, it's a Tupperware thing, and one bag of my coffee will fit in there. But when you dump it all in there, it's heaped up. But if I shake it just a little bit, tap it on the counter just a little bit, it just all settles down. Which makes room for more. Hey! That's what this is talking about. The basket's full, but then they press it down, shake it together, and then fill it again until it runs over. See, Jesus wants our measure, listen, He wants our measure of mercy to overflow. Mm-hmm. When was the last time someone was merciful to you? Oh. That's a great feeling. That's a great feeling. I'm reminded of a time when I was hauling logs out of eastern Oregon over there, and if you leave Highway 97 and you head for Diamond Lake, and it's just this long, long, straight stretch. It's like 14 miles long, and you just, and you get, and it starts going up Spring Creek Hill, huh? Well, that's to the top, but to the bottom is like, you know, flat and straight, and it's a wonderful place to get a run at the hill. And man, I had that old cat just wound up tight, and I see these headlights coming, and I didn't think nothing of it. Well, by the time it gets to me to where I can see what it is, it's already too late, and I realize that it's a state cop, and so I'm like, well, I'm in trouble. And I see his brake lights come on, so I just pulled over. I mean, I know what's coming. I'm in big trouble. And I'm doing about 72 miles an hour getting a run up this hill with this stupid old mule train. And sure enough, he comes and turns around. He pulls in right behind me. I'm just sitting there waiting for him because I already got my license out and everything. I'm like, here you go. So he talks to me and stuff, and he's checking my truck all out and does all this. And he says, is this your first load today? And I said, no, it's actually my second. Well, he said, this truck sure is clean. I said, I spent a lot of time trying to keep it that way. And he goes, well, you know, somebody that takes this good of care of your equipment, making sure it's clean and stuff, got to know what he's got, what's going on. He said, I just want you to just slow down a little bit. I explained to him why I was going fast. He said, yeah, just slow down a little bit and have a good day. I mean, that was mercy. That was mercy. Huh? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't him. I know him too. Wasn't him.
How many cops do you know?
I know.
I thought you stayed out of trouble.
I do, Ron.
Now
you can't see my you can't see my halo for protection. Gotta have them for protection. Never mind. I gotta get on with this. Hey, I gotta get on with this Bible study. Settle down here. Yeah, but I wasn't a chaplain. All right. Hallelujah. Where was I at?
Hallelujah.
I was talking about mercy.
Yes.
I was talking about mercy. Where's mercy at, Steve? Oh, here it is. Jesus wants our mercy to... our measure of mercy to overflow, and those who give easily will find goodness coming back to them. Amen? Those who are stingy and reluctant givers will receive in the same way. So if we live to give, God will see to it that we receive, but if we live only to get, God will see to it that we lose. The principle here applies not only to our giving of money, but also the giving of ourselves in ministry to others. And when we give, we have to remember that the blessings that God promises are not always material and may not be experienced completely here on earth. But we will certainly receive them in the future life with Him. I was thinking about that today. I bet heaven, I mean, I've got my idea of what I think heaven's going to look like, but I bet it ain't going to look nothing like what I think it's going to look like. I think it's going to so blow our minds that it is going to be like, what in the world? Because, I mean, I was thinking about, there's a man, I was listening actually to a song that there's a mansion being prepared for me. And we think about a mansion and we think about that place over there that we think is just, ain't going to be like that. I'm just sure of it. Look at Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Listen, the promise here in Malachi is linked, is tied to, is attached to the covenant of, that the Israelites made with the Lord back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So if they faithfully obeyed Him, He would faithfully keep His promises. Does any word stick out to you there that I just said? That's a good one, but that ain't it. That's a good word, but that isn't it either. That's a good word, but that not it either. What? Do. That ain't it either. That isn't it. Huh?
Wait, where are we?
Yes.
Where are we?
If is the word.
Oh.
If is absolutely the word. We don't want to talk about if too much.
Oh, I know what it is. It's try me.
It's if. That is the word that I'm looking for. If. Listen to what it says. The promise was linked to the covenant that the Israelites made with the Lord. So if... So if they faithfully obeyed Him, He would faithfully keep His promise. Listen to this in Deuteronomy chapter 28, just so you know what we're talking about here. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and the first 14 verses are just powerful. Now, it shall come to pass. That's good. It shall come to pass.
Yes.
We can't get away from that. If brings
conviction.
Well, it brings conviction, but it brings responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It brings commitment. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. And they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if... Well, let that sink in for a minute. Because everybody liked what I read so far, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you like that? Your enemies are going to be fleeing and all that stuff. The blessings of God and all that stuff. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not beneath, if... See how He just throws that in there every once in a while, just kind of like a reminder? All this stuff is yours, but you have responsibility. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of these words which I command you this day, to the right nor to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. How many times did He say if in that passage? Three times. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't know. The spiritual principle behind this promise is echoed again in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Given, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, be put in your bosom. For the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. You can also find it, something that the principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. So, and also verse 8. So, believers today, you and I, as New Testament, the New Testament church, can also lay a hold of these promises. For some Christians in America, a tithe would be too small an amount, but each believer must be fully persuaded in his or her heart what the Lord wants him or her to do. The Lord's challenge and promises to the tither were certain. How many of you realize that a tithe is a tithe? Do you understand what that means? What does it mean? It's a tenth. It's the tenth part. But regardless of how much, it's still the same. Mm-hmm. Right? So a tithe on a dollar is what? Pardon me? It's a dime. A tithe on $100 is? A tithe on $1 million would be? $100,000? Now listen, I went to school at South Umpqua and I didn't do a lot of math, but $100,000 is a lot more than a dime or a penny to me. Right? I mean, right? Yeah. Somebody on, come on, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Sure.
But it's exactly the same. It's still just a tenth. Yes, ma'am.
That just proves how God doesn't care how much you give Him. He doesn't care if you give Him $1,000 or whatever. He just wants you to give Him 10% of what you have. It doesn't matter how much you have or how much you give Him. That's not the point. The point is that you're giving. Yeah.
The point's obedience.
Yeah.
And the tithe is the same. Because if it's $1,000, it's a tithe of $10,000. So
No. You said $1,000, and a tithe would be 10. That doesn't work.
It would be $100.
10,000.
$100.
Is that what he said?
See, I told you I didn't do good in math. I've already established this fact.
$10,000 is $1,000.
$1,000 is a tithe of 10,000.
Right.
Yes.
$100.
That's what I said.
That's what you said.
Huh? You're confusing me.
We're not very good at grammar out here.
No, $100 tithe would be off $1,000.
You said $1,000
is a tithe
would be $10,000.
No, it's off of $10,000 is what I meant. Anyway, get up. Sit up.
We understand.
But do you understand what I'm saying? It's still just a tithe. But we start freaking out when it gets up like it's $1,000. Oh, man, how can I give $1,000? The same way you give a penny.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They're just thinking about what they have to do.
Right. And why am I making that much money?
Because you're paying your tithe.
And how much more money am I potentially going to make because I give the tithe that God blessed me with off of that number? It just keeps going. You cannot outgive God. I don't care who you are. I'm telling you. The Lord's challenge and promises to the tither are certain. They're certain. So after identifying and condemning the people for cheating him, the Lord gave his people a challenge along with several promises. And I want to spend the remainder of our time looking at those. The Lord's challenge was twofold. Okay? The Lord's challenge is twofold in verse 10. First, the people were to bring all their tithe into the storehouse, or into the temple, or in our day, the church. See, people have asked me, and it's an awkward position to be put in as a pastor, because people will say, well, you know, I pay part of my tithe to this TV ministry, or I pay part of my tithe over here. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's your tithe, and the Bible specific says to bring the tithe to the storehouse. That's this place. Or, you know, if you go over there, it's that place. Or if you go over there, it's that place. Now, if you want to give an offering to them, that's fine. But that's not your tithe. So they were to bring all of their tithe into the storehouse, into the temple, into the church. Only by giving the Lord and His servants what was rightfully theirs could Israel ever hope to have the curse removed and to begin to enjoy the blessings of God. The second thing is that the people were to test and to prove the promises that God was making, to try Him and to see. I can tell you personally, in our life, personally, in our personal life, I can tell you over and over and over the blessings that God has poured out on me, on my wife, on our family, pastorally, because our churches have always been giving churches. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that God, I can show you over and over and over how God has blessed the church. Because we tried Him. We tried Him. When we first started the church in Utah, there was like 13 of us. And there wasn't that many more of us when we decided to buy our first 100 chairs. Why do you need 100 chairs for 13 people? Well, because we don't like sitting in the same chair too often. Because by faith, we were believing God was going to fill those chairs. And it was a lot of money for 11 people, or 13 people. Our lease payment was like $3,200 or $3,400 or something like that for 13 people. We just signed it. My wife, not a fan. Mike Young's wife, not a fan. Me and Mike, where do we sign? They're like, are you guys crazy?
Yeah,
probably. But she will tell you from a bookkeeper point of view that God never missed one payment. Not one. And we bought chairs, and we bought vans, and we bought all kinds of stuff. We bought sound equipment. We bought everything that we need. God bought it. I'm just telling you that that's what God did. God is in the business of blessing His people. If His people will deal with the if factor. So they were to prove God. If the people lived up to their end of the covenant, their responsibility, the if factor, He would surely live up to His. Now, the Lord's promises, those were the Lord's challenges. The Lord's promises are threefold here. And before looking at the promises, however, we need to recognize that God could have granted these blessings at any time that He wanted. Because He's God. But to do so while the people lived in sin, to bless them while they were robbing Him, would have sent the wrong message. Now, can I just tell you something? I don't know how you folk look at things. I can only tell you how I look at things. And if you remember that I said that I don't know if it was Wednesday or Sunday or whatever, that I said that, you know, there were things in my life that there, I was dealing with things and all this kind of stuff, and I told God that I'm done with all of that stuff, and God, I want to do whatever that you want me to do to be the best pastor that I can be, to have the blessings of God, to have people come and be a part of our church and all this kind of stuff. And I made that determination, I think it was last Friday. And what did God do on Sunday? What did God do on Saturday morning? We had 21 men for men's meeting on Sunday morning, on Saturday morning. It was amazing. I don't know if we've ever had 21 men in here for men's breakfast. It might have been, but I don't care. They were here. And the church service, look at the church service that we had on Sunday morning. 6 people give their life to Jesus that day. And I got to baptize one person. That, to me, that's like God saying, okay, so far, you've handled if. And so I'm going to bless you. And He did. And He did it quickly. He didn't have to. He could have tried me for another week to see what was going to happen. But He didn't. He blessed me. That's why I say I needed what happened here on Sunday more than they did. I mean, they needed to be saved, yeah, but I needed to be a part of that. God's not willing to bless His people when they are unwilling to bless others. Now, we can tell you, Tammy and I, as being pastors, how long have we been pastors anyway? 30 years,
oh
Lord
gosh.
Jesus. I can tell you, I couldn't list them, but I can tell you of just blessing after blessing after blessing that God's people have done. My pickup, the men's group, they blessed me with stuff on that pickup. I've got hunting gear that they have blessed me with. My cowboy boots that I wear on Sundays. I never bought those. I haven't bought a pair of cowboy boots, and I can't tell you how long. Because there was a guy in the church, and he said, hey, looks like you need some new boots. Come on. And we just went and bought boots. I mean, you weren't going to argue with him. I've been on hunts that I didn't pay for. Guided elk hunts. She's been given, I don't know what all she's been given. Gone places, done things. It's crazy. It's God's blessings. That's all I know. It's essential that God teach His people the importance of giving. That is why you're here tonight. The sad truth is probably 99.9% of you, if not 100% of you, are already tithers, already good givers. That's why I implore the church to be here on Sunday morning, but they're not here. It is essential that God teaches people the importance of giving because they existed as a people and a nation to be a blessing to others. To be a light and a testimony of God's love to the world. You know what's going to attract people to God? Pardon me? You and I letting that light shine and telling people what God's been doing. What has God done for you? What has God done for us? We don't have to look very far down the street and see a piece of property that's almost 3 acres down there that God just dropped in our lap. Now, the enemy's been fighting us ever since we took ownership of it. Yeah, but you know why he's fighting it? Because he doesn't want us to be what God wants us to be. But guess who wins and guess who loses? We exist as a people and a nation to bring blessing to others, to be a light and a testimony of God's love to the world. If the people would test him and obey him, he said that he would open the floodgates of heaven and pour out unlimited blessing. Now, I got in my concordance and those kinds of things, and I studied out that verb, that word there, the floodgates, the windows of heaven, it says in another translation. See if I won't open the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are the same windows that God opened up when he flooded the earth in Noah's day. They're the same windows. The earth could not contain the water that come out of those windows. You will not be able to contain the blessings that God pours out when we get this thing right. How awesome would it be for us to begin to recognize and move and walk in the blessings of God and receive the blessings of God and begin to bless other churches in our community to do different things, to build a building or whatever. How awesome would it be able to give to a group of kids or whatever and just send them scot-free, lock, stock, and barrel on a missions trip somewhere just because God's blessed us so much with all that that He has given us, and we're just going to bless them and we're just sending them off and just go have a good time. Spread the love of Jesus somewhere. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about us building a nice building down there and stuffing money away in the bank so that we have a nice bank account and the pastor can, you know, whatever, so forth and so on. No, I want to be a blessing. I'd like to see us start another church in Canyonville. Hello. How cool would it be for us to start a church in Glendale or wherever? Or Glide? And not start it like we started here and struggle and scratch and claw and dig. And so just say, listen, we're going to go and get you a building, and we're going to pay for the building. We're going to remodel the building, whatever we have to do. And we're going to put a pastor in there and so that pastor can concentrate on growing and building that church and touching that community with the gospel. How cool would that be? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, the blessings of God. If the people would test Him and obey Him, He would open the floodgates. He would give abundant harvest and prosperity to the nation regarding their crops and guarding rather their crops from insects and disease. He would give the obedient a life that was greatly blessed, a life full of joy and delight. How many would like to walk in joy and delight in their life? In fact, the other nations would actually notice their abundance and call them blessed. That church down there must be blessed. They must be of God, because, I mean, look at them people. Has anybody ever asked you, why do you smile all the time? What is wrong with you? I was hauling logs over on the coast, and I was going up the Millicoma River up toward Delwood one morning, me and a buddy of mine, and had just come out of a Tuesday night youth service, and it was a great service and blah, blah, blah. And we were going up the river and we were just jacked up, man. I mean, we were woo, and going up the road, and this bus driver on the other side of the river is going down, and she happened to be on the same channel that we were on the radio. And she goes, what are you guys on? She's like, I don't know what you're on, but I want some of it. I said, it's the Holy Ghost.
Dead silence.
Quiet. But it was absolutely the truth. We were just filled up with the Holy Ghost of God. And you just cannot keep it in. Mm-hmm. You just can't keep it in. We would become a strong witness to the world, a true light to the nations. Many of us today fail to realize that we are robbing God when we fail to tithe, or when we fail to give too little, or give any less than what He lays in our hearts to give. Hey, listen, preacher, I gave my tithe. Good for you. That's good. That's being obedient. But he said, bring tithes and offerings. I mean, there's all kinds of offerings. There's all kinds of offerings. There's all kinds of offerings. Really, if you want to know the truth of the issue, the blessings of God come from the offering, not the tithe. The tithe is really an act of obedience. And yes, you get blessed because you've been obedient. But the real blessing, the multiplied blessings come because of the offering. Because the offering is above. We need to keep in mind that God asks for more than our money. Now I'm going to meddling. We have to keep in mind that God asks for more than just our money. The Lord requires us, is this being recorded? The Lord requires us to use our time and our talents to further His kingdom. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? And if you didn't like that, you really aren't going to like this. We're guilty of disobedience when we fail to tithe our time and our talents. Listen, failure to seek and to discover and to use our spiritual gifts is a waste of our God-given blessings. It's also, and you, if you didn't like what I've already said, you're really not going to like this, but it's also a tool of the devil to steer us into disobedience to the Lord. And when we fail to do any of these things, we show disdain for the Lord and for His laws. Don't you think that it might just be reasonable, after all God has done for us, to do what He's asked us to do? I mean, that just, the New Testament says it's your reasonable service. Mm-hmm. Which is reasonable is just middle of the ground. God's Word is very clear about our duty as believers to tithe and to give. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 and 36 says this. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. Well, that preacher's talking about taking offering again. Put a $5 bill in that thing. Just put it back in your pocket. Just keep it. Because you're giving it with a grudging attitude. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be happy. I'll never forget, as long as I live, in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, right down the street at the Assembly of God Church, we had a guest speaker in town, and we weren't even involved a lot in ministry. We were involved, but not a lot. And Mike Young and Kathy was at the piano. Mike Young was standing right behind me. And the evangelist said, "Listen, here's the way we want to take the offering. I want you to just reach into the next row in front of you, and if there's a guy there and he's got a wallet in his pocket or a lady in her purse there and a bill, just take their billfold or their purse out and just get whatever money's in that, and you just put that in the offering." And I was standing there, and I had my billfold in my back pocket, and it wasn't too far from payday, and my wife has always given me an allowance of my paycheck just for mad money to do whatever, And so I had some money in my pocket. And Mike, he just reached up there, took my wallet right out of my pocket, and he just... Yeah. He just emptied it out. Put it in the offering. And I didn't even care. I mean, I started, I was like, I bet he gives there. And I never looked until later. I thought, you know what? What if he does? God's going to bless me anyway. Mm-hmm. And he did. He emptied that thing out. Put it back in my pocket. It's our attitude. If I'd have turned around and snatched my wallet back out of his hand, leave my... He was just doing what he was told. How many of you know it's easier to give somebody else's money? It's true. It's true. I can give Bob's money away, no problem. And he can give mine away, no problem. It's when it becomes part of my blood, sweat, and tears that earned that, all of a sudden it's like, we don't want to give it up. We have to realize that God's just trying to teach us something. Let me be clear. The storehouse was a place in the temple for storing grain and other foods that were given as tithe, and the priests lived off of those gifts. And we also need to give from the plenty, which we're talking about offerings now, the plenty that God has given us in order to support those who serve God by ministering to the spiritual needs of others. It's hard for me to say those kinds of things because it can point to me to some degree. But Malachi chapter 3 and verse 11 says this, and I love this. I'm out of time. I'm going to keep going, okay? Malachi 3 and 11 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Did you catch that? He's going to rebuke the devourer for our sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3:12 says, and all nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, I want for our land, Frank, to be a delightful land. Mm-hmm. I want for people to be able to come through Myrtle Creek, Oregon and say, you know what, this place is blessed. You know why? Because God lives here. I'm not trying to be derogatory in any way, shape, or form. But you look down there where our new church property is down there. You look around the area there. The high and mighty ain't living there. But when we put our church in there for the Lord, it's going to be a bright spot in that neighborhood. I promise you. It is going to be a bright spot. It is going to lighten up. It's going to bring life into that area. And I pray, me and Tammy have hauled kids out of those houses down there. When we were in bus ministry 30 years ago, we hauled kids out of those houses and took them to church. And we gave them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for breakfast at church. And that was probably the best meal they had all week. And when we plant a church down there and put up a nice building and some shrubberies and some flowers and stuff, you know what will happen? I'll tell you what's probably going to happen. The Pony Espresso, they're probably going to take their game up a notch. They might smear a little paint on the building, put some flower pots or something outside. You know why? Because right next door is going to be a nice looking facility. Right next door, there's going to be some shrubberies and some color and some trees and a nice building. I think it's going to... Myrtle Creek has this beautification, Main Street beautification project or whatever. We're part of that. The remnant that returned to Judah after the exile had a great opportunity to trust God and to bear witness to the other nations that their God was the true and living God. I want for Harvest Christian Assembly to be able to say that my God is on the throne. I was driving up the hill today and going to go get a load of logs, and the shovel operator, they were talking about singing. I think I sang some little something or something anyway, and somebody said something about it, and somebody said something about, well, do you sing like that in church? And I said, Shepherd says, I tell you what, he said, I've heard some really, really good singers in church. I said, hey, Shep, I said, you ought to come to church on Sunday. I'll sing for you. Ah, he just went off. And then pretty quick he started saying, well, you know, there's some really good musicians come out of churches. I said, hey, Shep, you ought to come and hear me play the bass on Sunday. What are you talking? He's like, nah, you don't. I said, yeah, I do all that. He couldn't believe it. See, the sad thing is that guy used to go to church all the time. And something happened. And wants no part of church. And I think God's got me there because I'm crazy. I'm full of life and I smile and I can talk to him on his level, but yet be spiritual at the same time. And so I'm praying that he comes to church someday. I want them to see that our lives bear witness to all those that are around us that God is the true and the living God. Had the Jews trusted the Lord, he would have done great things for them, and they would have been a testimony to others. As it was, they floundered in their faith, and nobody could look at them and call them blessed. I don't want that for this church. I don't want that for any one of your lives. I want for every one of you, everyone on Sunday morning, I want for everybody to be able to say, hey, I'm faithful to God in my tithes and in offerings. I'm faithful to God when He wants to use me to do this and that. And because I am, people, we are a great testimony of what God has done and what God will do. That whole bunch over there Sunday came to watch Jay get baptized. And the Holy Ghost got him. He got him. I don't know if you pay attention, but my message on Sunday was about as far away from a salvation message as you can get. It wasn't about salvation. It was about missionary journeys and getting beat up. It really was. You can go to our website and listen to it. It was about Paul being obedient to God and in the process getting beat up. They would have killed him had the soldiers not intervened. Who wants to get saved? I mean, I'm like, are you kidding me? Six of them. Thank the Lord. How many of you know the Holy Spirit doesn't need my preaching to get somebody saved?
And she told me that this is the best church that she's ever been to in her life. And I just told her that the Holy Spirit is.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Yeah. That's the only reason. Because the Holy Spirit was here. That's the only reason. And I believe it. As they floundered in their faith. Listen, church, let's don't flounder in our faith. Let's don't flounder in our giving. Let's don't flounder in our obedience to be a blessing to God. God's promise in Deuteronomy 28, 9 and 10, again, is the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. How many of us want that? I mean, you got to be outside your mind to not want to be that person. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. That's basically what I said to him on Friday. That's exactly what it says. And I said, God, I want the blessings of God back in my life, back in our church. I want to do whatever's necessary because I want our church to grow. I want for us to have multiple musicians. I want for us to have multiple singers. And I want for us to have staff and youth leaders and youth group and those kinds of things. And God, if I'm the problem, deal with me. That's what I was saying on Friday. If I'm the problem, because I'm driving down the road and I'm trying to look at, you know, at what is going on. Why is our church not growing? Why are people not coming to the church? Why do people come to the church, say how much they like the church, and then leave the church? What in the world? And I'm the common denominator in all of it. So are we. So are we. But until we own that and get back to this place and trust the Lord, then He will do great things for us. And we will be known as the nation whose God is the living God, and He will establish us as a holy people to Himself. I don't know what that does for you, but man, I want to be known as a holy people. I really, really do. I want people to look at you and say, you go to that church? You must have the Lord in you. You must be a child of God. I see the things that you go through, but yet you still shine and you still smile. Well, how do you do it? I just trust the Lord. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. How many of you just want to be called by the name of the Lord? Wow. And they shall be afraid of you. I don't want them to be afraid of me, and that's not, but that's the context of what they're talking about here is that God was all powerful and the enemies and God would destroy them. But I want for the people to see us in the light of the Lord is our God, and that would be drawn, like somebody was saying earlier, that we'd be the light, and how many of you know light draws bugs? I want the people of this area to be like a bunch of bugs, and when the light gets turned on, they can't help but come.
Turn the zapper on.
No, we're not turning the zapper on. The Holy Ghost zapper. The Holy Ghost zapper. I'm with you on that one, Ron. Yes, sir. See, the Gentiles would have come to Jerusalem to learn about this great and wonderful God who could take a group of refugees and turn them into a blessed nation. Amen? When people start coming in this place and we are prayed up and people are getting saved by the droves. Listen, Tammy will tell you that there were Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, 10, 15, 13 folks would come to the altar every week and get saved in Utah. It was crazy. It was a rare Sunday when somebody didn't get saved.
Mormons smart enough.
It wasn't just that, Ron. It was just people that needed Jesus. It's just, and that's all it is anywhere. It's just people that need Jesus. Mm-hmm. He is the only answer.
Yes.
And you and I can give them Jesus. Mm-hmm. And listen, Johnny Jernigan says this, and I think it's true. If you'll catch on fire, they'll come and watch you burn.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll catch on fire, they will come and watch you burn. A church alive is worth the drive. I've had people say, well, I wish we lived closer. Well, you know what? Those same people, when the Lord starts moving, like I'm believing for Him to start moving, they'll make the drive. They'll make the drive. We have one service on Sunday, which I believe is going to change. I believe it's going to change. I believe if God does what I'm praying for Him to do, we'll have to have multiple services. We might even have to have a Saturday night service. Who knows?
Amen.
What can God do? I'm believing for that. I'm believing to get this city saved. You know where it starts? With your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
With your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 22 of us here tonight. 23 of us here tonight. If we begin to do what God's asked us to do, live the way God is asking us to live, faithful in our giving, faithful in the tithe, faithful in the offering, Faithful in being used of God in the services. Faithful in every area of our lives. And the blessings of God begin to get poured out on you and you and you. And folks are going to begin to notice it in this church. Other folks are going to begin to notice, and they're going to begin to say, what in the world is going on? Well, I'll tell you, I just made a determination in my life that I was going to be obedient to God, whether it was in money, whether it was in service to the kingdom, or whatever it was. I just made up my mind that I was just going to be blessed, that I was going to be a blessing to God. I was going to be obedient to God, and God's been blessing my life. And I'm telling you that if you'll just be blessed and obedient to the Lord, God will bless you the same way He's blessing me. And I'm believing that every one of you in this room tonight are going to be able to walk in that kind of a testimony and begin to share that kind of a blessing message with everybody, because they're going to be like, what in the world? They're going to see that big smile on your face. You know, maybe you've been down in the dumps. Maybe you've been depressed. Maybe you've just, the world's caving in on you. And I'm not negating any of that. I'm not cheapening any of that. It's all very, very real. I understand that. I walk through it. I see my family walk through it. But you know what? When you walk through those things and you come out and you're smiling, what in the world? I just watched what you've gone through. You know, you have a hard time getting around, but you're always just smiling, grinning like a mealy-eating cow. You're happy. Now, why? Because I trust God. And regardless of what life wants to throw my way, I'm trusting God. And folks are going to be able to see that. And they're going to say, what do you have? I got Jesus. And He can change your life. He can change your life. This isn't about money. It's about obedience. It's about being used by God to advance His kingdom. You understand tonight? We have an opportunity to be used by the King of Kings to plunder hell. To plunder hell. He wants to use you. Maybe you might be here tonight and think, you know what? Nobody's ever wanted to use me. God wants to use you. Nobody's ever picked me to be on their team. When I remember when I was in school, and this is honest truth, I remember when I was in school and they were lining up to pick teams on the playground at recess. You know what team I got picked to be on? Whoever's team the last person got to go to. Because that was me. I was always the last one, you know. I wasn't no outstanding athlete. I wasn't popular. But I was the last guy in the lineup, so somebody had to take me. You might be the last person in the lineup, but God wants you on His team. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there something that just happened that taught me a lesson?
Sure.
Well, 2 weeks ago I found out there was a pretty major, to me at this time, financially it was a major problem with my van. And I found out I wasn't going to be able to afford to have it worked on. And my neighbor, who is not saved, brought his son-in-law over, who used to work for River Bend before River Bend closed down. And he said what it was going to cost me was $368 to have the part replaced. And that includes labor and parts. And when he first walked up and he listened to it, he says, yeah, that's where it is, flex plate. He says, it'll be, I could do it for $350, parts and labor. And that matched the last bid I had. And we stood there and talked. And this kid is not saved. I talked to him again today, and I know he's not saved by his language. And we stood there talking, and finally he said, within 10 minutes, he said, I tell you what, he says, you buy the part and I'll do it for $200. That was $150. The part ended up costing me $28, where I thought the part was going to cost me $50, because we're rich. Ferguson. I commented to him Sunday in church here, about what was going on, and he says, well, where are you going to buy the part? I said, probably Napa. He says, no. He says, I don't like to buy things from Napa. He says, let me check into this, and I'll see what I can do. Monday morning, he called me up, said, I got the part waiting for you at Douglas Auto in Winston. And when I got there, it was $28. And I mean, I have not, and this is not to negate anything you have just said, but I haven't been doing real well. And I think what this was God slapping me up alongside the head and saying, maybe you ought to
consider.
Do better. But I mean, neither one of these people that are going out of their way, I'm working for my neighbor and he's loaning me the money through my working for him to pay this kid to rebuild my truck or to put the part in.
See, God is not so small that he can't dangle a carrot in front of you. That he can't, what I'm saying is, show you how he wants to bless you if you would just be obedient to him. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I think is happening here.
I know that's what happened.
Sure.
I mean, it was a Sunday morning right before I was dressed to go to church. I just got out of the shower and I was coming. He showed knocks on my door. It was out of the blue.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
No, Pastor. Blessings come in all different ways.
Boy, oh boy.
You may not be, like some people, like they say, you give so much, you get so much back. You may not need that back, but you need other blessings. Blessings just come in all different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said we have to understand that not all blessings, well, this is not just talking about financial. I was just talking, I went to the dentist tonight and got my teeth cleaned, and the gal that's a receptionist there, in fact, both the receptionists, I went to school with them. They're my sister's age, and we were commenting on our health. That we're healthy. We have good health. There are other classmates of mine that you'd think they were 90 years old. There are two guys that I work with every day on the landing up there. One of them runs a machine and the other one's a chaser. And they're 4 years younger than I am. And it's like all they can do to get around. I jump out of my truck and I run everywhere I go. And it's like they're going, well, have another beer. Smoke some more whatever. I've drank, don't misunderstand me, and I've smoked everything you can smoke. But I give all that stuff up for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I have pretty good health. I mean, look at me.
Okay.
Hey, hey.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in pretty good health. I really do. And I attribute it to the blessings of God in my life. I believe it. I just believe it. Father? Yes. What? Yes, ma'am.
I have a testimony.
Okay.
I've been home really depressed. Struggling with food and, you know, all that. Paying bills, the whole thing. And a lady that we're friends with from another church, well, that part doesn't matter, but she showed up with so much food. It was just amazing. And then, I went and checked my mail, like, it had set off there all weekend, too. And I didn't check my mail for, like, 4 days, but I checked the mail. And I got this card that said, blessing for your family. We love you. There's $500 in there. Yeah.
Somewhere, somebody is being blessed and called by the name of the Lord.
That's what they said too. That's what she said when she brought the food over.
I have something to say. I turned up to my doctor, the nodules on my lungs from when I was on a ventilator for so long, but it really shows you.
Wonder why God saved you through all that. He saved you for this. He has a purpose and He has a plan. He knows it all. And church, there is story after story after story. Of what God has done and what God wants to do. And I'm just going to tell you, we've got to come to the place where we pray and we seek God. Remember what it said here? Let me... I was hungry, He gave me food. I was thirsty, He gave me drink. I was a stranger, and You took me in. I was naked, and You clothed me. I was sick, and You visited me. I was in prison, and You came to me. That is Jesus talking about how these different circumstances and situations, He's in all of those things. And the Bible says, as You've done it unto the least of these, My brethren, You have done it unto Me. Church, we have all kinds of opportunities to be a blessing to people. But we've got to get in a place where we're committed enough to the Lord to hear His voice, to spend time with Him, to hear His voice.
No, one other thing too, is somebody took my documents out of my trailer, gave their mom, and they took my birth certificate, took some Bibles, and you want to rip off. I thought that was another
blessing. Amazing. Church, I'm just believing. I'm just believing that great things are in store for this house. And by this house, I mean every one of us. Some of us seem to be doing pretty good. Others of us, not so good. The Bible teaches us in this area of giving that those that had plenty to help those that lack. Those that are strong help those that are weak. Those that have been found to help those that are lost. That's just the way the Bible works. And He's just simply looking for some folks that'll stand up, be counted, say, God, here I am. Whatever day of the week it is, whatever hour of the day it is, I'm here. You can use me. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else before I pray?
I got a blessing gift.
I have more.
Hang on one second.
Okay.
Yesterday I was going to VA. I was going up Robert Mountain. And cop pulled me over. He got me at 87 miles an hour off.
I don't ever want to hear it again about me. I don't ever want to hear it again. Oh, yeah.
So I slowed that way up there.
And you're still going.
But he let it go.
What?
He didn't go there. He actually said that good. I thanked him.
I bet you did. I know you were. Thank you, Jesus. I was doing the same thing over on that highway over there when I was standing up there driving that big truck. Listen, did you deserve an 87 mile an hour ticket? Absolutely. Especially in a construction zone on Roberts Mountain. Did I deserve a ticket? Absolutely. But the blessings of God in Deuteronomy chapter 28 talks about they will overtake you. And you were overtaken at 87 miles an hour by a blessing. Now we make fun of that and poke fun at it. And you know what? Thank God you shared that. But that's just the way it is. I wouldn't suggest the rest of us go out and try that. That's not what I'm saying, but it was a blessing of God.
Wake up call.
And a wake-up call.
Waver alert. Wow.
Mike, we're going to have special prayer for you in a minute because he's taking you to the doctor in the morning. Oh, dear God. Oh, man.
Is he going to drive your vehicle?
I love this. Donna?
Yes?
Go ahead.
You know, my red car, I used to drive it, broke down a long time ago, but I've been trying to get it fixed for the girls. But anyway, trying to save the money for it and everything. But Rich and Jill stopped by, and Rich looked that up for me, and he's going to investigate it a little bit. And I was putting a puzzle together, and Jill just sat there and visited with me, and it was really nice. It was really nice. And Tammy also stopped by.
This one?
Yes.
She was so cute.
I know. And it was just a wonderful surprise. It was. Anyway.
Listen, that is exactly what I'm talking about. Money would not have bought that for you. No amount of money would have made you feel that way. Just to have somebody sit and talk to you while you're doing it. No amount of money will purchase that for you. You know why? Because that's a real emotional need that is being met. And money ain't going to meet that need. That's why, church, this is the bottom line of Frank's heart. Isn't it, Frank? Visiting people. That drives Frank. Because we've talked. Haven't we? And Frank wants people to be visited. And that is why. And he wants them. Yes, they are. Me and Tammy actually made it out there and visited them. Listen, that's what the church is supposed to do. So listen, I want to just challenge you tonight. Let's be the church. Let's be the church. Let's go off the charts and quit being so wound up in all the stuff that we have going on that we don't have time to go and visit anybody. Okay? Lord, I love this people. They are your people. And you love them so much more than I do. But God, I pray that tonight these things that we've talked about are personal. They're close to home. They're very real. And they're very little about money. But God, would you help us to be your people, to be willing, to be willing to be called by the name of the Lord, that you will establish us as a holy people to yourself, that we would keep your commandments, that we would walk in your ways. Help us to take this word with us tonight. Chew it up. Let it soak in. Let it change us from the inside out. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.